Finally, hail. It is unfortunate that what is, after all, the most tragic counterpart to man's salvation, namely his loss of the vision of God for all eternity, should be so seldom talked about. Yet belief in hell is one of the most fundamental mysteries of our faith. It is widely doubted and often denied, even in circles supposedly Christian, and may God forgive them. The latest issue of U.S. Catholic, published in Chicago, denies learnedly the existence of hell. Somebody better still talk about what Christ revealed. There is nothing after his own divinity that Christ taught more clearly and explicitly than the existence of eternal punishment. And the church has never budged on this revealed mystery. But we ask, why? Why hell? You might say, God revealed this mystery of eternal punishment to give us some information about the prospect of those who die estranged from God. But let's be sure that the existence of hell is not just a piece of sober information. The last thing you would expect me to do in this meditation, I'm going to give you 7 reasons why God revealed the existence of hell. And the only reason I stopped at 7 is because it's a good, round, biblical number. I repeat, St. Ignatius makes it imperative. No Jesuit faithful to the principles of his founder should ever give a retreat without preaching on this subject. First, Christ wants hell to teach us that the same God who is all good is also all just. God will not be mocked. Of course, he is patient. He is merciful. But there is a limit to God's mercy. And that limit is man's unwillingness to return to God. Hell is what happens to a person who resists God's mercy. Again, we who have so often been the object of divine mercy should be grateful. That's a second reason for this mystery. We usually think of being grateful for things we have received. Someone does a favor, even a trifle, and we say thanks. But there is a legitimate and more common object of gratitude, to be grateful for the harm or the evil we have been spared. If someone saves our life, we should be grateful. God has spared the length of our souls. We are still alive in body. We can still depend on God's mercy. But if any of you are like me, we should now be in hell. But no. Second reason, for God's revealing the existence of eternal punishment, gratitude. Moreover, the revelation of hell is meant to inspire us with a salutary fear. The fear of the Lord, we are told, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is not a cringing, servile fear, so that we are afraid mainly of what God might do to us. Nevertheless, it is a fear that we should have of not wanting to offend God, because, as we know from human relationships, there is no hatred like that of rejected love. And the more one person wants to love another and spends himself in showing his or her affection, and that love is rejected, the more terrible the reaction. My first anointing as a priest was about 2 o'clock in the morning at Charity Hospital in Cleveland of a girl about 20 years old with a bullet in her head. The man she was dating thought he would marry her. She left him for someone else. Her fiancé figured, if I can't have her, he won't either. And he killed her. God wants us to learn from our human relationships. The Lord wants us to love Him. How He wants us to love Him. Talk about the hound of heaven stalking His prey. But He will hound us only so long. If we resist and keep resisting His advances, He will do what a rejected lover will do. I'm not guessing when I say this. I'm quoting the Word of God. We read some of the passages of the Old Law. Yahweh speaking to His people, how I have loved you. What mother could do more for her child? Tell me, what more could I have done for you? Come a day when, if we are not in God's friendship, God will act as the just God. A fourth lesson of this mystery is to be our motivation. How powerful this should be in the apostolate. You have your apostolates, same mothers of families. I've got mine. One reason under God that I sacrificed a natural family, quite frankly and honestly, is to be of more service to you. And I just hope the Lord is pleased. One of our strongest motives for working to help save souls, whether our own flesh and blood or those whom God puts into our lives, it's to keep them out of hell. If this sounds fundamentalistic, so be it. If it sounds pietistic, so be it. If it sounds childish, well, so be it. But the greatest missionary after St. Paul, my own confrère Francis Xavier, who was declared by the Church the universal patron of the missions, was mainly motivated to spend his life, wore himself out, to bring pagans to Christ in order, as he said in a letter to Ignatius, I want to save these souls from hell. There is another lesson, however, and it is the fact that though we are still in God's friendship, we can lose it. We know that the cedars of Lebanon have fallen. My last rector in Chicago, Jesuit rector, left the priesthood. My first Jesuit rector in New York left the priesthood. No position in the church, no accumulation of virtue, no amount of learning, no reputation of sanctity in the eyes of others, as Mother Teresa has more than once told me, if only people knew what a crucifixion it is for people to call me a saint. Because God knows and I know I'm a sinner. How then, we need to pray daily, Lord, that I may live and die in your friendship, knowing full well that no one is safe. When we recite the Hail Mary, let's be sure we know what we mean when we say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. I trust before this retreat is over, and you patiently, in these warm July days, are listening, that you will learn something. But whatever I share with you is not so important as the one thing I want to tell you right now. Because everything depends on it. No matter how holy our lives may be, we are not guaranteed dying in God's friendship unless we receive the special grace of final perseverance. This grace must be constantly, daily prayed for. That's why the Rosary is such a powerful prayer, because more than 50 times in every 5 decades, we pray for the gift of final perseverance. I have assisted some very saintly people at their deathbed. Some are spared, but not all. If the devil had the nerve to tempt the Son of God, be sure he won't hesitate tempting us, especially as we approach eternity. Sixth lesson. The resolution to work for God's service now, as we should wish to have done when we come to die. What effort we would put into what we are doing, say now. If we knew that after finishing this little task, like giving this conference on death, judgment, and hell, we would be called into eternity. To make sure that eternity is eternally happy and not eternally unhappy. Finally, since we have all sinned, we are all Magdalens in our own way. Because we have sinned much, and God has forgiven much, therefore, as he told the sinful woman, she, and that means we, should love much. Don't tell me this is a low motive for becoming holy, because it is born of gratitude for God's goodness to me. Indeed, in his providence, this is why God allowed us to sin. Do you know that? And perhaps deserve hell, that having come to our supernatural senses, we might, from the time that we awaken, give ourselves entirely to God. There is only one reason that I came in from New York. The only reason I'm sharing with you the deepest convictions of my own heart is that you might give yourselves to God entirely. Once we are convinced how good this good God has been, especially for our purpose, from what terrible eternal evil he has spared us. Is there anything we should be unwilling to give God? Is there any cross that becomes too heavy or task too hard? Once we resolve to give God everything, inasmuch as he has given us everything that we now have, and thanks to his mercy, hope for, having still his grace with which we can cooperate until we are judged, and then as we are confident, shall be admitted to the life that awaits us after what we call our bodily death. No, death is not really death. It is just a moment between the cross on earth and everlasting happiness in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.